ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
One day in winter, as I came home, my mother, seeing that I was cold, offered me some tea, a thing I did not ordinarily take. I declined at first, and then, for no particular reason, changed my mind. She sent out for one of those short, plump little cakes called Petite Madeleine, which look as though they had been moulded in the fluted scallop of a pilgrim shell.
A marvel of the human mind is about to occur. An unassuming Madeleine, that small, shell-shaped sponge cake, is about to whisk our protagonist to a world of memory. A cause and effect so evocative, so familiar, that the author's name is now synonymous with the phenomenon itself.
I raised to my lips a spoonful of the tea in which I had soaked a morsel of the cake. No sooner had the warm liquid and the crumbs with it touched my palate than a shudder ran through my whole body, and I stopped, intent upon the extraordinary changes that were taking place. An exquisite pleasure had invaded my senses, and at once the vicissitudes of life had become indifferent to me, its disasters innocuous, its brevity illusory.
The text, In Search of Lost Time, the author, Marcel Proust. And this is the quintessential Proustian moment, a sensory memory that transports us immediately back to a past experience. Involuntarily, with that taste of tea and Madeleine, it all comes flooding back.
And suddenly the memory returns. The taste was that of the little crumb of Madeleine which on Sunday mornings at Cambrai my aunt Leonie used to give me, dipping it first in her own cup of real or of lime flower tea.
Has that happened to you? Perhaps it was the aroma of a cinnamon donut still warm that took you back to family trips to a local market, the inevitable donut van parked nearby. Or maybe some freshly grated ginger that takes you back to an extraordinary meal you enjoyed in some idyllic locale one holiday long, long ago. And this is more than mere recollection or association. At its most vivid, this sensation is entirely transportative.
Getting the merest whiff of something from your childhood or from a holiday or from, you know, being on a train journey long ago, that conjures up not just, oh, I remember that smell. You feel as though you were right back there. That's the funny thing. It's sort of, my goodness, I'm almost recreating the moment.
And perhaps it's no coincidence that we associate this phenomenon with something as simple as a Madeleine. It's the most basic of sponge cakes, but there's something about them. Maybe it's that whimsical shape, that fluted half shell, or their delicate sweetness, flavoured with just a hint of honey or perhaps some citrus rind. If you had one as a child, was it an early encounter with indulgence? A shell-shaped cake just for you, how special. So special, in fact, that the humble Madeleine remains an after-dinner essential at a world-famous Michelin-starred restaurant.
The Madeleine moment is when it is fresh, still warm, when that nipple is perfect and you break it open under your nose and you go, wow. And of course, if you like a digestif after a long meal, there is nothing better than maybe a prune to dunk it in, should you feel that need to luxuriate after a long lunch.
I'm Jonathan Green, and this is Every Bite from ABC Radio National. It's all about food and the places where food, culture, science and history collide. This week, a memory of Madeleines, the cake Proust almost forgot. For such a talented and celebrated writer, there are often two things that the career of Marcel Proust is boiled down to. One, that In Search of Lost Time is the longest novel of all time, Guinness World Record certified. And two, that most famous of novels, published in seven volumes between 1913 and the 1920s, includes wonderfully visceral evocations of memory, the Madeleine incident being most well known. Its concept of involuntary memory, it was popularised by Proust himself in this vast, heaving and digressive work of consciousness and recall. But for a moment, back in the author's early drafts, the role of the Madeleine, well, it wasn't played by a Madeleine at all. We'll come back to that. Memoir involontaire, the concept of a sensory cue often associated with food, encountered in everyday life, something that suddenly takes you back to a time, a place, a feeling. Perhaps it's a memory you didn't even know you had. Proust makes such a strong case for this phenomenon that it still fascinates philosophers, neuroscientists, and other scholars today.
I had one not so long ago, and it's not that common to have it in later life, but recently I was wandering around quite near my office in London, and there was a beautiful art shop that sold paintbrushes and paints and pencils and erasers, and it had a wooden floor, and I went in and I was suddenly struck. This takes me back to childhood when my mother, as a very young boy, would take me to a big store in Glasgow, to a stationer's, to get my pencils and to get, you know, that box of instruments with compass and divider and so on before school started. And I was right back there, and I sort of held onto it like Proust for moments, and then it just started to fade away. So I'm Barry Smith. I'm the director of the Institute of Philosophy, where I run a center for the study of the senses, where I work with psychologists and neuroscientists to understand how our senses work and how they give us knowledge of the world around us and of ourselves.
Barry, if people in large part know anything about Marcel Proust, it's an association with the Madeleine.
Yes, exactly that.
Tell us about this, because this, of course, occurs in the opening volume of In Search of Lost Time. And our narrator dips a Madeleine into a cup of lime blossom tea, and memories are evoked.
Yeah.
How does that kind of sensory evocation of memory work?
Well, this is interesting because people talk about the taste of a Madeleine, but it's not the taste that's doing the work here. It's actually the smell. So what we call tasting is in fact a mixture of taste, touch and smell. When we put food in our mouths and chew it, odors go from the mouth up through the back of the throat to the nose, and they contribute most of what we call tasting. Because if you think of it, all the tongue can give you is salt, sweet, sour, bitter, umami, That's roughly it. But we can taste mango, mint, pineapple, strawberry. We don't have strawberry receptors on our tongue. We don't have pineapple receptors. All of that is coming from your sense of smell. So with the Marcel character in Proust's novel, as he's tasting the Madeleine, so those odors, the buttery odors of the Madeleine, are actually what are evoking a memory for him. Because our sense of smell is our most primitive sense. It's so primitive that smell, when odors come into the nose or when they reach the receptors in the nose, they project directly to a center of the brain called the amygdala, also to the insula. These are sort of ancient, phylogenetically ancient parts of our brain. And they are responsible for emotion, memory, arousal. And it turns out that every other sense goes via the thalamus and is gated before it reaches the amygdala, but smell goes directly there. Now, what happens is you get a kind of immediate arousal, immediate kind of lift and affect. And usually what is unlocked when that happens is, you know, getting the merest whiff of something from your childhood or from a holiday or from, you know, being on a train journey long ago. That conjures up not just, oh, I remember that smell. You feel as though you were right back there. That's the funny thing. It's sort of, my goodness, I'm almost recreating the moment. And you remember everything around you at that time. You remember how things looked, how they sounded. It's as if the brain is locking together all those bits of information, because what you experienced was a very emotionally charged memory at that time. And I think what's most remarkable about the Proust phenomenon is that when we experience it, we didn't know we had that memory in there. You think, oh my goodness, that takes me right back to my grandmother's kitchen. You'd forgotten that you know, it had that smell.
So it has to be the precise replication of the original sensory memory. It has to be Madeleine for Madeleine, but the other stuff is gathered around that.
Yes, so that's what I think is interesting. If you ask, why should we have such vivid and intense recall of an experience in the past that we didn't know was sort of in our memory, I think, A, because it was emotionally very charged, that original experience. And secondly, I think it's because, you know, imagine an animal finding a very good food source. It's exploring. It finds a very good food source. What it needs to do now is lock in a perception of everything around it. What does it look like? What are the sounds? How do I find this again? So I think for evolutionary reasons, it's quite important to do that. The dark side of the Proust phenomenon is the fact that people who've suffered torture or trauma very often can have flashbacks of smell, or if they smell an odor, it can give them that feeling of being right back there in a traumatizing way. So it's got to be an emotionally charged memory, good or bad.
Barry C. Smith, director of the Institute of Philosophy at the University of London. Well, an emotionally charged memory for me, that is certainly on the positive side of that spectrum, it actually involves Madeleines. It's a memory of a singularly wonderful meal that I enjoyed in London not too long ago at the Michelin-starred St. John. It's the restaurant founded by chef Fergus Henderson and restaurateur Trevor Gulliver. They're famous for their nose-to-tail approach to planning a menu, but their signature dessert involves neither nose nor tail, unless perhaps you count the eggs and butter. It's a plate of freshly baked Madeleines, still warm from the oven. Just don't ask if their love of Madeleines was inspired by a certain French author.
I will not go into Proust if someone really wants to read that page or pages or chapter about the Madeleine. But it is that that sweet smell, that hint maybe of honey. And I think because of that warmth, there's still something catalytical about that happens. It's not, it's a live thing, if you will. I'm Trevor Gulliver. Way back when, in 94, Fergus Henderson and I opened the restaurant St. John, which doesn't seem like over 30 years ago. And I like to think we're as fresh today as we will be tomorrow. And every day's a new day, and a bit like a Madeleine, really. They're only best when they're done fresh.
Tell me about that. Because, I mean, the bakery has always been an important part of the St. John operation. There's a lot of sourdough toast has flown under the bridge.
Yeah, I think with the Welsh Rabbit, for example, the chefs in an idle moment reckon they'd span the world twice with end-to-end Welsh Rabbit toast. So there you go.
That's the thing to conjure with. Where does the Madeleine fit into that?
A Madeleine should always be fresh. It should be in a plastic wrapper and bought it over a counter or in that particular thing you see, particularly in French supermarkets, for example, of all these things that are something to do with bread or baking, but really are just processed food. And the Madeleine moment is when it is fresh, still warm, when that nipple is perfect and you break it open under your nose and you go, wow. And of course, if you like a digestif after a long meal, there is nothing better than maybe a prune to dunk it in, should you feel that need to luxuriate after a long lunch.
I was going to say, what's the ideal accompaniment? But that sounds splendid.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, it's romantic, but they're kind of pillows of joy. And they're also just a lovely thing when people have had a good lunch and they're about to go and you're saying, and you give them a bag of Madeleine and said, that'll see you through to dinner time. And when you open the bag, the paper bag, then out comes that smell. That'll see me through.
Describe for me the qualities of the perfect Madeleine. What should it have?
I think it should have a sense of being moist. Nowhere it should be dry. There should be that particular, when you break it in half, that particular smell of a freshly baked Madeleine, which, of course, you cannot do with an industrial version of the same idea, and that is delivered by the
the heat that still resides. And of course, once we're in that bag, later again, that quality or that idea of the smell just popping out is still there to be enjoyed.
To be a little Proustian, do you remember your first Madeleine?
No. that was what's known as anti-Proustian in terms of a reply.
Have you ever tried one with a lime blossom tea?
The answer is no, but I have with white silver tip tea because I'm a tea fan. It comes with age, apparently. You learn to appreciate tea. So silver tip tea is perfect, which is very delicate. You want a cup of chai with it or a good old builder's tea. You don't want that.
Too much, you think?
In my view. And, of course, there's also those reprobates who'll just dip it in their coffee after lunch. But, you know, Liberty Hall, each to his own. So,
is it the Madeleine, is it an object that needs to be approached with a sort of an eye to purity? Can you do things with that basic notion of the Madeleine, or does it need to be left alone? This is what a Madeleine is. It is nothing else.
Simple is difficult. And the simplest is always the best, because then that's the purest, in my view. And that's something we understand just generally in the way we approach how we cook and what we do. And the workplace is a place that sets its own demands, by which the workplace becomes a better place to work, if that makes sense. So behind everything is a lot of thought, and the simple is difficult, and the perfect Madeleine is simply that, which is me getting a bit Proustian after all that. There you are.
Trevor Gulliver, co-founder of the St John Restaurants in London. From ABC Radio National, you're listening to Every Bite. I'm Jonathan Green. Now, while Fergus and Trevor may be resolutely committed to the simplicity of a traditional Madeleine, here in Australia, a food-loving couple are committed to breaking the mould, or at least creating new ones, including a corn-flavoured and corn-shaped Madeleine, complete with hand-piped yellow kernels embraced by green chocolate leaves. And the process of creating one of these Madeleines is anything but simple.
First day, we bake the Madeleine and then digging and then fill with the cream cheese sour cream with the cooked corn. And then second day, we make a popcorn ganache and then start to pipe the corn kernel, every single thing. And then it need to be frozen to able to do the next step.
Pastry chef Hyo Ju Park and her partner Rong Yao So run the Melbourne patisserie Madeleine de Proust. They're perhaps the hardest working Madeleine bakers around.
Third day, we spray the corn kernel first with the yellow cocoa butter chocolate. And then we do the leaf with the corn chocolate with some green color. So yeah, it's like, takes like a 3-day job.
Do you think the customer knows how long that's taken?
I don't think so, but they know it's delicious.
That's, I guess, the main thing, yes. So is that perhaps the most outlandish and difficult?
Most time-consuming, I would
Yeah,
say.
Most time-consuming. Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Why we stopped selling it. It costs, takes too much.
You've got to put that away.
We just bring back sometimes.
It has to live in memory. How many Madeleines would you make a day?
Depending on the day, but today it's like we made 450 Madeleines for only baking wise. Mm. But in terms of we have other job, like a chocolate setting and like a glazing. So it's a lot of things.
Lots of other things to do.
Lots of other things.
When did you make your first Madeleine?
Ooh, the funny thing is my first Madeleine was when I was 14 years old at school extracurriculum class. The first item for the baking class was the Madeleine. So at the time when I saw it came out from the oven with the big hum and the smells of a buttery, a sweet. Yeah, I think I fall in love from it.
Because the ingredients are simple, aren't they?
Very simple. That's why we learn as a first thing as a bakery class. But the outcome is amazing.
Tell me those ingredients.
Eggs, butter, flour, sugar, honey.
And it really depends on how you want to elevate it, but that's the most classic one that you can do. But it's mainly just using good ingredients. And for us, twist is slightly different. We're using flour from Japan, just a very, very light flour, if you can see in the end of that.
Oh, yes, I see it there. Yes, in those big bags.
We specifically import from Japan, so we call it the violet flower. It's just make the madeleines really, really light.
Now, one of the most significant things about them, what makes it so recognisable, is of course the shape, the shell, which needs a mould.
It is. The good mould make the good hump.
To be honest, like, the mold is like a, we treat it as like a canvas. Basically, you basically can use any sort of mold. To be honest, we're struggling with some of them, but now we just like appreciate every sort of mold, from the silicone one, from the metal one, every sort of mold. It can make a good madeleine. You don't really need to spend a fortune to get a really good one, but
But you can.
Like sometimes it does save you a lot of time. For some of the mold, it does have like a special coating, and then you save a lot of time. Mm. Don't need to butter them.
Show me a favorite. What's your favorite mold?
Oh, recently I fell in love with the mold from the Korea. Mm. The company called Ujang. It has a golden silicone coating. So
can you show me that mold?
Of course.
Look at that.
So every morning we use it, and then we don't really need to do other things, just like a lightly oil and then wipe it off when it comes out. Yeah, that's it.
How many in that? 1, 2, 3.
25.
I was working it out slowly.
I do it every day.
Do you sell the special ones that we have, like a bear shape, like a bunny shape as well?
All right, controversial question. Yep. Is a madeleine that looks like a bear still a madeleine?
Of course.
Yeah, we treat it. Everything that baked with madeleine batter is madeleine.
That's a fair answer. Except that, I mean, it is true too, that this is such a very traditional little cake. These have been looking the same now for centuries. Mm-hmm.
We respect it, and because at first, to be honest, we're not trying to do something very, very different. We just try to, as our shop name is called Madeleine de Prose, it's a meaning of nostalgia. So we believe that a madeleine should hold some memory and for someone else. That's why we try to create different sort of shape to bring different sort of, create different joy and memories for other people as well. That's why we try to be creative on that. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree in terms of, like, to be honest, a fresh baked madeleine in the most traditional way, we do that as well. I mean, everyone will love it.
I wonder who the first person was that made that original madeleine mold. You know, the back who knows when.
It's good questions.
I'm not sure about the mold, but I know how it started.
Go on.
But there's like a lot of like a myth that how it started. But the thing that I know is it was made by one of the servants to celebrate the king's visiting from the castle. And her name was Madeleine. That's why it became a Madeleine. Yes. That's why it became a Madeleine. That's what I know.
And here we are, all those years later. What's the best thing about the traditional madeleine, the simple, plain madeleine?
Best thing, I would say, everyone can make it. It's very simple thing, and then no matter how you make it, it will come out. The result gonna come out, whether it'll be very delicious or a little bit delicious, but it will come out the result.
Yeah, it's tasty, no matter what. Anything that's just come out fresh from oven, you just can't resist.
Yeah.
The smell, the texture, when you hold it in your hand, you just know this is going to be good.
When I say that I'm going to start my business with the madeleine, my French friends say, oh, whenever they finish the school, when they go back home, mom cooked the madeleine as a tea time dessert. So that was her fond memory. So I'm happy that we also create the fresh baked madeleine for everyone who can remind that feeling.
And what a wonderful sort of transnational enterprise this is, from Korea, from Malaysia, a thing traditionally so French. It's a wonderful combination.
Yeah, and we're on the like on street in Italy.
That's right. Yes. What's going on? And you've put all this into a book?
Yes, we did.
Every single detail.
Yeah. A lot of secret insight to achieve at home as well. Even we put on the different temperature, the timing to fit what are you able to use, and different sort of oven. We just put everything down.
So if I was looking for a mold, if I wanted to start making my madeleines at home, yeah, what would I look for? What are the most important things?
You can start with any mold that you have at home. If you have it at home, I think you can start it.
Even like a muffin, yeah, muffin tray.
It works.
Yeah, just taste the taste that you like. And then if you like to invest a little bit more, yeah, there's thousands of options for you to choose.
You can easily get it from Ulis or Coors, or if you want a little bit more professional one, you can go to the commercial baking shop, or even we sell the madeleine mold as well. But I think everything is possible, but the baking time might be a little bit different because the gram would be different.
And if it's not that particular shape and those particular proportions, things change a little too, I guess.
If you follow the recipe, you can't go wrong.
That's good advice.
Yes.
I think the best advice is get a scale.
Yes. Scale and thermometer, definitely.
These are the things. Baking is a precise art.
Hyoju Park and Rong Yao So, co-founders of the patisserie Madeleine de Proust in Melbourne. They've also published a cookbook. It's called Madeleines, Simple Bakes for Every Mood. And yes, the corn madeleine recipe is in there, so not always so simple. It's fitting that the complexity of the famed Proustian moment, that dunking of cake, was attached to something as simply elegant as the madeleine, not a piece of toasted bread. And yes, that toasted bread, that was the morsel that featured in Proust's original draft. Here's Barry Smith.
That's right, tartine in French, a tartine. And the editor looked at that and thought, no, that's just not, you know, elegant or sophisticated enough. And you can see in the original draft, he scores through tartine and writes above it, Madeleine.
And there's some Proustian trivia I'm sure you won't forget. Every Bite is your weekly journey to the places where food, culture, science and history collide. Every bite tells a story. And thanks to our guests, Barry Smith, Trevor Gulliver, Hyoju Park and Rong Yao So. You can hear Every Bite on ABC Radio National and anytime at all on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. Share us round like a plate of fresh madeleines. And if you're listening on a platform that lets you write reviews, please do. 5 stars, the odd kind word, that will help new listeners find this show. We love to hear from you anytime. You can email us at everybite, all one word, at abc.net.au. everybite@abc.net.au. Every Bite is made on Wurundjeri country and produced by Kim Jirik. I'm Jonathan Green.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.